Diamond Clerp, hope you have enjoyed this program.
We got perspective, we got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight.
Hi, hello, welcome to episode 207 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons at www.patreon.com/grills. I am Ray, and I am joined by my lovely co-hosts, Linda.
Hello.
And Ember.
Hello, hello.
And today's topic is Olympic BS. all the weird, random, like, really moments from the Olympics. But before we get into that, what have you girls been up to?
I guess I can start if you would like. I've been making all the things. So many things. I don't have another market day until October, so I have a lot of time to make things, but I've gotten a bunch of commissions, which is awesome. It's really cool. People actually like remembered to like look at my card and send me an email. So woo!
Yay!
So one of the things I got is I made a Mario a couple of weeks ago for this adorable kid.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
And his dad ordered a Luigi to go with the Mario. So it's really dark on my screen. You can't see the green very well. So he's got his brother there, and I'm gonna drop him off tomorrow.
Precious. And then
continuing the Nintendo theme, someone ordered a mushroom bag. So
awesome!
One of these guys done, and then I kind of was like, once I got those commissions kind of done with, I was like, I was watching Rachel Maskey, which is one of the YouTubers who's like a maker, a creator, and she made this dress from this retro pattern, and I was like, it's a wrap dress, and so it's really simple, like, you put it over your head, and you button it in the back, and then you button it in the front, and it's basically, you know, there you go, and I was like, I could do that, so I'm wearing it now. You can't really see it on screen, because I'm sitting. But I used the last of this kind of thundercloud fabric that I've got. It's all blue and purple. And this is kind of my mock-up dress because I wanted to test the pattern. And so I'm like, okay, the shoulders need to come in, which I did. The neckline needs to come down because it was originally like way up here. And when I put the dress on, it was like, ah! So... I think for the next one, I'm gonna like cut it into a square instead of a V, because I did this V neck and it's doing wonky things. So I think I'm gonna cut it down into like a square shape. And like I wore it today at work, and I was like, okay, it's super comfy. This is really nice. Now I want a long version so that I can wear it with my LARP character. So I'm gonna get more fabric, I guess. Because I'd love to do, because it's in two pieces, you have the back, which comes around the front, and then it looks like a split skirt in the front. So if I did a long version, I could do the front panel in, like, a red, and then the back panel in, like, a... There's this beautiful black and red brocade from the Yaya Han collection that I'm like, I want that on the... It's $22 a yard! So yeah. Definitely, like, I want to get pattern adjusted and right, so I want to make a couple more mock-ups before I go and get fabric that expensive.
Well, keep an eye on their sales too, because Joanne does ones on her collection now and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just like, yes, but I need to make all of these adjustments on the actual pattern, because if you can't repeat it, it's not a pattern. You must be able to repeat it for it to be a pattern. So I've been, like, putting pencil marks all over these pattern pieces and being like, it feels wrong to just kind of cut it, but, you know, I'm not making this for anybody but me. So if I hack away at the pattern pieces, it's just for me. It's fine. It's a weird thing going on in my brain of, like, somebody spent time to make this, and now I am cutting it up because I am adjusting it. It's fine. And then a couple of weeks ago, my gran had a fall. She actually had two falls, and she ended up breaking her, like, a bone in her shoulder and a bone in her hip. Ooh. So she had to have surgery, and she was obviously in the hospital a couple days, but they moved her to the recovery center, and I got to go visit with her. She's doing okay. She's in a lot of pain. But, like, my mom and I went, because it's only two people at a time can go in, and only for a short amount of time. And we brought her this big bag of toiletries, because it's just, like, you know, just things that maybe she might need, you know, all the, like, dry shampoo and you know, all the essentials. And the thing that she wanted the most was the lip balm. Because apparently her lips were very dry, and I'm like, okay. It's very odd to see her there, because I don't think I've ever seen her in the hospital, like, in my entire life, so.
Wow.
It's very odd. But she's doing okay. And she's not in the hospital, like I said. She's in the recovery center now. Mm-hmm. Which is just, we got the message that they had a COVID scare, so it went into lockdown. I'm like, well, that's great.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah.
It's like that everywhere about now.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's what I've been up to in the past in a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let me see. We went to play putt-putt again, my husband and I, little date night situation. Although,
nice.
I need to get off here. Went to a bigger place that had water, like little ponds and dinosaurs and that kind of stuff. So that was cute and nice. We had a really good time. And we had both of our birthdays since we've had a show last. Mine was Monday and Rob's was Friday. So we had just nice time. My birthday, I did nothing. Like, on purpose, fuck all, absolutely nothing. Like, Rob's doing, he took off the whole week of work. So it's like, you can do the taking the kid to school, you can do the taking the kid to work. He made dinner, he made lunch, he made everything. And then Tuesday, we dropped a bunch of money on, we love, and we haven't gone in forever, going to Hiddenite Mine. So Hiddenite in North Carolina here is very close to us. It's about like 20-minute drive. And you can go dig, and you can go play in the stream and look for rocks, and you can go in the sluiceway and get everything from like a $5 bucket to like a $1,000 bucket.
No, it's like Dahlonega.
Like, stuff they
have that same kind of stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they, Rob has been saving his money from his gigs. So we got a nice seated bucket, and I should have brought stuff up here because I got really cool stuff. We got a $250 bucket for our birthday present, and
oh, wow. Spent
couple hours sluicing it all out, and it was seated with some really cool stuff. They just shoved like slices in the top, some really cool agate slices and nice. Stuff like that. But then while we were sluicing, found a nice little handfuls of rubies and sapphires. They're really really rich in ruby and sapphire over there. Mm-hmm. And I found a gorgeous little piece of emerald. Like, I gotta take it to a lapidary and see if it has a cuttable piece inside. Like, emeralds are trickier to I can't determine that. Like, I can determine that with tiger's eye or whatever, because you can say, alright, I have enough of the eye that I can tumble this, you know. But you can't even tumble emeralds because they're very soft. And we don't have a tumbler. But I've got a piece of obsidian that's like this big. And at one point, Rob found this rock and he's like, this is little. I mean, it just looks like a rock. And it sort of feels like it's just a little different. It doesn't seem to have the right crystalline structure. Like, we know what to look for point numbers for certain things. And if it just feels heavier, then it looks like it should. And he's like, but it's whitish, off-white. It looks like dinosaur poop that fossilized. Like, and I was like, yeah, it's just a little odd. There's something odd about it, though. Guy walks over. He's like, oh, that's a geode. Got a hammer, clack, 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 and broke it open. And that was really neat. Because I'm used to seeing the geodes, like, they're black on the outside.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
This was not. But it was, in fact, a geode, and all shiny and sparkly inside.
What color was your crystal inside? Was it, like, white?
Yeah.
White crystal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was, we had loads of fun, and now we have a big pile of shiny rocks, like goblin mode activated. We're all click, 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 click. So, yeah, nerds. I went to see Labyrinth in the theater on Sunday.
Yay.
Oh my gosh. I was so happy. I had never seen it on the big screen. I was like in my senior year in high school when it came out. And also had an apartment and was working, and yeah, I wasn't going to the movies. So I've only ever seen it on video and television. And man, there is so much more glitter than I realized in that movie. Especially at the beginning, like when he shows up, comes through the window, and Rob's like, well, yeah, that's because Bowie like sweats glitter and then reabsorbs it. I mean, it's covering every tree she walks by and steps over, every branch. And I want to quickly say to the chat, hi! Mike TV is rating us. We love you all.
Yay!
We started the show a little late, so we're still catching up on all the geeky things we did in the last couple weeks.
Yep.
And I was thinking, Linda, I might need one of those purses. And I went to your website, and it looks like you're out of them right now.
Yes, I'm working on more. I have the one that's completed.
I'm working
on them now.
Okay. Because what I wore to Labyrinth was this dress I have that the bottom looks like butterfly wings.
Pretty.
And everyone was like, oh my god, it matches your hair with the pink and the purple. Mm-hmm. And while you were showing that bag, I was like, oh, a little mushroom bag would be so cute with my fairy butterfly dress.
It would.
And so going to see Labyrinth in the theater was also sort of a date night thing for Rob and I. We listened to the new Aquilo, as we do on road trips, on our way up. For those of you that haven't listened to Aquilo, check it out. It's fantastic. Quite cool. And the new season, first episode, has just dropped. So I'm psyched for that. And in a couple weeks, we're going to have J.F. DeBow on talking about his new book on this show. So I'm all excited. I've had a productive couple of weeks. Click, clack, click.
Yay!
What have you been up to, Ray?
Well, it started kind of rough. One of my good friends in Asheville actually passed from COVID complications. It was a breakthrough case, and they sent her home with oxygen. They thought like it was the worst was over. She ended up getting clots and having to go back to the ER where she had another stroke. And the first one apparently impaired her a lot. So I think after that second one being back, she was just like, peace out, guys. I can't. I love you. So that was kind of a rough start, but I got to go up with some really dear friends that were also very close to Ellie. So we went up over Labor Day weekend to Asheville. We got to meet her family up there, like all of her friends. So that was really nice. And everybody was, of course, because what happened, and we were all vaxxed, and we were all masked. We got to go to some places where they had visited her last year, or the year before the lockdown. So they were showing me, like, oh, yeah, Ellie took us to this ice cream place, or this was the comic store in Asheville that Ellie recommended. So, like, we had to stop and, like, go, and it was really good. And I'm like, I think Ellie would have been okay with that, like, nerding out about her. And what her family did do, and I really appreciated this, was we got to go through, like, her items and basically select stuff that would, like, so we could keep a piece of her with us. And it was really, really sweet. I do appreciate that. And honestly, I want that to happen. So I just, that seems like a really good way to do it, especially if you don't have kids or anything like that to worry about. So after that, we got ready for our Texas vacation, which we had planned for 2019, but, or planned for 2020, but Panini pandemic pushed that back. So this year was the year for The Night in Question, which is a fantastic blockbuster vampire LARP, where basically the night in question revolves around what happened at this rave in outside of Austin, Texas. Like, nobody knows what happened. Hundreds of bodies were found after the fire, but no one knows what happened. So it is that night of the rave that you go to. And I got the mortal ticket. I was totally all about that because it's been forever since I LARPed vampire, and I wasn't really like, I last got into vampire with, it was the second edition. And we're on, like, what, 3 or 4 now? And Requiem?
3 or 4,
and
yeah.
I wondered what the heck those pictures were, by the way. I just saw, like, before and after, and you're obviously covered in blood. I'm like, where is she?
it was a vampire LARP. It was great. Scott got the vampire tickets. He was supposed to have a bunch of our friends with us. Our ones in Texas were able to, like, show up, but some of our other friends were, like, with everything going on, still being COVID, and they're like, we don't feel comfortable. I'm like, nope, that's totally fair. But it was great. Like, they have so if you do it, the actual event is on a Saturday night, and there's a mandatory safety workshop that you go to. And then the Friday before is, like, the recommended but not required character building workshop, which is basically you get to get together with everybody who's in your group or your whatnot, make ties with them, and then they have exercises so you can make ties with other people outside of that group. Like, at least 2 random people, because of the way they do it, and then you have a second subgroup that you're friends with. And you're able to pick that. So I, of course, picked, like, the hippie group, which is great. and the time setting for this is 90. It is 1998 in Austin. So you get to relive, like, the late 90s glory days. I'm like, I was kind of sad because a lot of people were like, I get to be that, like, alternative kid or that goth kid I always wanted to be but never could. And I'm like, well, I'm playing a street rat kid, so I can't really live out those dreams, but it'll be fine. I actually have that Jeans Cult t-shirt was from, like, early 90s. There was, like, a year that everybody had them. And I kept it because it was comfy. And I'm like, I will sacrifice this to the blood gods of the night. but it was flipping fantastic. Met a lot of friends. It's going to take a while before the actual pictures come out. And I highly recommend it. It was fantastic. We literally got back Sunday at 11, and today has been nothing but sleeping for the both of us, trying to catch up on that. We also, there was the Rick and Morty finale happened for season 5, which was very good. It's 2-parter. We just started Why the Last Man, which I saw was on Hulu, so I have episode 2 waiting for me once we're done. And I saw Shang-Chi while in Austin, because we had time to kill. Because we flew in on Wednesday. So, that was fun. That was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. So, I do recommend that. If you, especially if you like martial arts and wire fu, and like that's already your thing, you will enjoy this. Like
wire fu. Oh, I've never heard that term, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, like oh gosh, it was
like Crouching Tiger, like, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah. We had a whole bunch of movies like that that we would watch to get excited for Exalted.
Red Cliff.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Hero was the other one. There's so many of them, especially from
Crouching
like early
Tiger,
2000.
There was one.
Hustle reference in there.
Kung Fu Hustle. There was White Snake. I think is another one. Mm-hmm. Or it was something called like The Priest and the White Snake or something like that.
Yeah. I love Stephen Chow, so like the Kung Fu Hustle one definitely won me over. He also did Shaolin Soccer, The Monkey King. So yeah, it was great. I had a fantastic time.
Awesome.
So I think that kind of wraps that up. So we can move on to the discussion of 2020 Summer Olympics BS.
Oh boy.
Did anybody actually get a chance to really watch it, or was it just kind of a...
I saw most of the Olympics through the nerdy pictures that people were taking of the athletes. Like,
yeah,
my favorite is the windsurfer champion with his hair buzzed in the arrow of the last airbender.
That was
on his head.
That made me so happy, though. Come on. I was like...
It dyed blue. I loved it.
I loved that so much. The only part I watched at all was when I was visiting Courtney and Maggie in Oregon. They were watching a little of the gymnastics. Mm-hmm. She had actually gotten one of those ribbons on a stick for her birthday.
Yes.
And so we were watching a little of that. But I followed a lot of the news on it because there was so much going on with the costuming and the horrible rules that are finally now being challenged. So I read a lot, but I didn't watch very much.
Yeah, and part of me was kind of curious about that since a lot of us are usually have streaming platforms now as opposed to just cable. So,
yeah, but I don't
like,
use them for sports at all. Well, just hockey.
We would watch it. Like, that was a summer thing that we would do in my family with my, like, even with my friends, because I remember the Barcelona and of course like the 96 in Atlanta. But yeah, I think like the only time I actually got to watch any was when I took my car to get fixed. There was water polo, I think, going on, and then like when I had to give blood, they of course had it on, and that was, I think, I don't remember what that one was actually. Maybe swimming. But yeah, so I was just kind of curious because I'm like, I also didn't want to. I like the Olympics, but I don't like it enough to pay for another streaming service on ABC.
Can I just funny thing quick? Is my son, who is 20 now, didn't know polo was a thing. Like he had heard of a polo shirt, and then we had to go get him some shirts for a job interview, and then they were actual, like, Ralph Lauren polo shirts in the store. And he was like, why is there a guy on a horse? Is that a thing? Like, he had only heard of water polo. He didn't know polo not in the water was a thing. And he was like, is this a real sport? What? And they named shirts out of it. I'm like, well, they named the brand after it. He's like, why? I said, I don't know. But they don't have alligators on them anymore. But we could talk about that some other time.
I thought they had the little polo guy on there.
Now. Now. Yeah. In the 80s, alligator shirts were a big thing.
I do remember the alligator shirts. The pop your collar up.
Mm-hmm.
Those prep boys. All right.
I did watch the little snippet of the team that had the Sailor Moon
Oh, yeah. I did watch that.
I missed that.
They did. Did you watch the ball routine? There was the rhythmic gymnastics, it was like, yeah. So they did a ball routine to a couple of the Sailor Moon theme song, one of the transformation songs,
and their costumes looked like a gymnastic version of a sailor suit.
Neat.
The Sailor Moon. Yeah,
We just watched a couple routines with. You know, I watched with my granddaughter, but I must have missed that one because I would have recognized it because you guys, handed watch all that Sailor Moon homework.
Yeah, that was, I did watch a couple of that. That might have been what was on the TV was some of the other gymnastics. I don't remember what was on the TV. I was giving blood and passed out. It was hard to remember. But we were talking about the controversy, so we could start with the big one, which is, of course, COVID-19. Which, you know, not really controversy, nobody can really control when a pandemic's going to hit, but it did get pushed back to 2021. And then also there was still lots of concern, because, I mean, we're still in it, so... There's a lot of health concerns, trying to do what they can to make sure that it doesn't get into the Olympic village, it doesn't pass on, nobody is sick from it, and there were a couple outbreak cases, and there were a lot of, like, trying to get those things quickly addressed.
They were trying really hard until the last minute to actually have audiences.
Yeah, and I think at that point it just became too obvious that... Because Japan specifically would go into lockdown 2 weeks, unlock, relock, unlock, relock. Mm-hmm. At least they went back into lockdown, personally. But, they did try really, really hard to try and get it contained within the country. But I do know that there was a lot of concern regarding that. The other big one I saw, of course, because it's in Japan, is the Fukushima radiation from the Fukushima explosion 2018. Which I didn't even think about. And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
How did the committee award than the Olympics, then? Because they do it... They did it longer ago. Well, how long ahead do they do it? It always seems like it happens really fast.
Olympics is every...
Every 4 years.
4 years.
Oh, it was selected in 2013.
Well before the Fukushima disaster. And that was 2018, right?
Yeah, although you would think if they noticed that they were having a problem like that, they might have maybe scheduled it elsewhere, but I know that, especially considering what happened around here when the Olympics was scheduled to come, they probably fought to keep it because of how much it, you know...
It's supposed to bring in, and you're already doing the infrastructure, making the new stadiums, and
it's
a lost cost kind of thing.
There's still infrastructure that we have here that was put in place for the Olympics. Hell, the
sorry about the noise, folks.
That's okay. The entire Olympic park that was built is still a thing.
And a lot of it was also, like, specifically they announced that the torch relay was going to begin in Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
That had people a bit worried as well.
A tiny bit of eye raising.
Him starting it like in a hazmat suit, like
tiny bit of eyebrow raising. Like, really?
Just wave the torch around a little and it lights up.
Let's see here. Climate change, of course, was also made it one of the hottest summers so far. There's air conditioning concerns and heat concerns over how well that would be taken care of. But I do believe Japan has air conditioning. I don't think it's that, like, overall, like, definitely in Tokyo, but I don't think it's that weird. Like, I know there's some places in Europe where there's just, like, why bother?
Yeah.
But,
I mean, there's some places in the U.S. that's in the right spot where they're like, eh, we don't need the...
Oh, yeah, that... If you're down south like we are, we need air conditioning.
We need it.
Like, I was in Texas, and it was 95 degrees, and it was... Like, we hit 95 degrees down in Georgia, too, but I'm like... Like, why does the sun feel more oppressively hot here? Is it because I don't have my tree coverage? Probably my tree coverage lackage, but...
I miss my trees.
I definitely miss my trees. I ate so much beef, though. Because I was in Texas. It's like, yeah. I have to have Texas beef, you know? let's see. Yeah. Yeah, and then the Fukushima again, the water quality. There was asbestos in the Olympic venue. It was found in the Tokyo Tatsumi International Swimming Center where they did the water polo. So they decided there was just a small amount and it was okay, but it was still, you know, we know the consequences of this. And
it's fine.
There's also the tropical storm, apparently before, that was causing some delays with the archery and the rowing competitions. Had to be redone because of that. Let's see. I'm just, like, going through a list. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What other tomfoolery is gone?
Apparently damaged rooms by Australian athletes. There was an accident in a judo player in a Toyota self-driving car. And then, of course, now we get to, I guess that was the fun stuff, quote.
Well, apparently they added some stuff this year, too.
Yeah, they added new things.
Like
we have
skateboarding. That's cool.
Yep. Which is pretty excited about.
That deserves it.
Yep, and then we have the political human rights issues, which, of course, workers' rights, disputed territories. There was some upsetness about the rising sun Japanese flag, which is, instead of just being the red circle, it has the sunbeams coming off it, because that flag specifically was used by the Imperial Japanese military during World War II. So,
oops.
Yeah, and I think even now it's kind of seen as being more part of like the far right within Japan, like mm-hmm. very nationalist pride groups still use that. Let's see. Yeah, there was the South Korean team banner. They support the 50 million Korean people. Of course. Yeah, I still have 12 battleships left, referring to 16th century invasion, Japanese invasion of the Korean Peninsula. And this is not even talking about what happened between in World War II and post-World War II with Japan and Korea and the discussion of comfort women and... Oh, yeah, so in World War II, Imperial Japan invaded South Korea, and women were encouraged to become comfort women. And by encouraged, I mean sometimes just raped and not really given a choice. It was gross. Japan kind of still denies that it ever did anything wrong to the Korean people, which, much like it denies that it ever did anything wrong to the Chinese people. So, you know, it's not really a good look. It's kind of gross. Let's see. Prohibition of political gestures. Cyber reconnaissance. Oh, yeah, about the Russian hackers. Swim caps and women's uniforms. I think that was one of the ones we definitely wanted to talk about. Specifically, there were some swim caps that were designed for swimmers who had natural curly hair. Mm-hmm. black athletes, and they were disallowed by the Olympic community because they weren't approved, which is total BS. And then, of course, there's Germany's women gymnastics team decided to do full body suits, which unitards are totally an acceptable. That's what I wore when I did gymnastics instead of leotards. Yeah. I found it more comfortable. It covers your legs and your body as opposed to, and that was to make a stand against the sexualization of the sport, which is very important. I feel like it's common knowledge, but maybe it's not that gymnastics is a very exploitive, sport, especially for women, also for men, but like, women, you want to get it. The whole point is to get you in young, get you in before puberty, before you develop counterweights, aka, you know, breasts and hips. Try and keep you as heroin chic as you can. And then, of course, there are men in these positions of power that sometimes take advantage of you. And I don't doubt for a second this happens in other sports, but it is particularly prevalent in gymnastics, and is really, really gross. All around. Then there was also the volleyball team that wanted to wear the tank top style instead of the bikini tops.
Because if you're running around whacking a ball, the last thing you want is a wardrobe malfunction.
Right.
And you know, maybe a t-shirt would be better.
It was really the year that this ramped up like crazy, though, because there's a whole chain. There's like the handball team. Norway's handball team wore shorts instead of bikini bottoms, and everyone flipped their shit. And then Australian uniform, like, being made of, like, child labor cotton. And then, like, it was one thing after another, and then some teams were standing up for others, which was awesome, because they'd have to pay a big fine, and the other team's like, no, we got you, and they really kind of held each other up, which I thought was fantastic. And I wonder if part of it was sparked because we had that really huge scandal just a few years ago here in the U.S., with gymnastics in particular, like you were talking about, like, yeah. I know it's exploitive. I have a cousin who grew up in that whole world, and it's ew. Yeah. But it was, like, just in 2017, 2018, with that Nasser guy.
They got the, about the coaches.
Yeah. That
abused their, yeah.
Nasser, he actually had to plead guilty to child pornography charges, and he got like 60 years.
Yeah.
And that was just a couple years ago. So then, Germany's gymnastics team wore the leotards like you were talking about. I love this. Leotards, I mean, and it's only going to improve performance, right? Like, if you're comfortable, nobody's going to. We're not. Doing your floor routine sounds like a terrible idea anyway, right?
I just don't understand. Like, if you're comfortable, you could. Difference between the unitard and the leotard seems very minor to me. That as long as it makes you comfortable, that's fine. Like, when I was on the swim team, nobody was like, you have to shave. But everybody knew that if you wanted to shave off like a few seconds on your time, you would shave everything. But that, I sure as fuck didn't shave.
I mean, are they gonna inspect you?
That didn't either.
Ew.
So I don't understand why you're not allowed to have. Yeah, and then the whole thing with the, that's not a regulation swim cap, but the regulation swim caps weren't made of women in color in mind. These swim caps specifically were, and they had the larger space for the hair, so it's more comfortable, because swim caps are just overall miserable if you've never worn one before, by the way.
I'd rather
joy
shave
in
my
it.
Head. I hate them.
Yeah. Just, ugh. I just always got a migraine after practice.
Would you like to cut off all of the circulation to the top of your head?
Right?
There you go.
Yeah. So I thought that was dumb. And at the same time, that also reminded me of, like, there was something else about uniforms, I swear. Now I'm going to have to look it up real fast.
Wasn't there something to do with the head wraps that the Muslim women were wearing or something like that?
Oh!
I might be misremembering that.
I'm trying to...
So while you're doing that, I'll read more of this article for folks. Like, the European Handball Federation fined each player €150 for wearing, like, whole shirts instead of cut-off shirts. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Norwegian team paid the fine for them. That's...
Oh. I can hear
it. They've been trying to change their dress code since 2006.
I just imagine that the Norwegian team, like, the other team is getting fined. The Norwegian team just slides up and just, without breaking eye contact, just slides the euros across the table. Like, take it.
Paraplevin.
It's funny that these old Olympic teams are using Instagram to make their announcements. Is, like, Twitter not the shit for that anymore?
Were you talking about the burkini, maybe?
Maybe. That was before.
That was...
Yeah.
Not specifically, but let me see if I can find that.
More sports shenanigans.
And, you know, you would think, I mean, the Olympics is one of those things that worldwide, everyone gets excited. It's like these sources of national pride and competition and, you know, coming together. And
it's supposed to be national pride, but it's also supposed to be like the world coming together and sharing like this admiration for these pinnacles of the human race that have made it here. And then they're banning... Oh, I'm sorry. Because of what you are or where you're from, we don't want you here. You have to go with what we deem is appropriate as to what you think is appropriate.
And this ban on the soul cap, like you were talking about, that was the name of those swim caps.
The ones that were designed specifically with women of color in mind.
Yeah. And their excuse was it doesn't follow the natural form of the head. It's like, okay, so that's not creating an advantage. Like, that's a purposeful misreading of, obviously they weren't going to let people wear swim caps that were fin-shaped.
I'm not creating any sort of advantage here. I'm just trying to keep my hair from getting chlorine in it, douche nozzles.
Well, that and from being heavier. I mean, that's why all of them wear them, because I know my hair is super heavy when it's wet.
Oh, yeah, I have really thick hair. It gets super heavy. And it's dyed, so that's another reason personally why I've tried to find caps lately. Because we were doing water aerobics again. Because you can see where I haven't done it, and it is massively faded.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's okay. I'll put all the articles and sources for this stuff, by the way, folks that are watching live, in our show notes.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely remember the burkini being more of a issue, I think, in this wonderful post 9/11 world, where there was in France, they were given them, they didn't want them to wear them because it's just, I don't know. I want to say that was back in 2016, though.
Okay.
I always thought they looked really
2018, Germany
cool.
banned the burkini, citing hygiene concerns. So they banned the burkini in public swimming pools in 2018.
I always thought they looked cool. Like, I honestly had a LARP concept for a water nymph, a water fairy, and I wanted to have the burkini because then that was something that I could wear in the water and out of the water and have it very fashionable. But
yeah,
cover
look at this
everything.
I'm like, if it weren't appropriating, I would love to wear this because I'd feel like a Selkie.
Yeah, like they look very nice, and I don't see why there should be any trouble with it. Like, in my case, I wouldn't have the head part, but just the bodysuit aspect of it. But it still has the top, like a little dress, so it doesn't show every aspect of your form. I really like that.
Yeah,
and
apparently
like,
this was
that
not
again is
an issue at the Olympics. It was decided back in 2017 that they would, Muslim swimmers would be allowed to race in them.
Good.
Yeah, and again, that comes down to what you find empowering, because, you know, some women do feel more empowered, wear more modest clothes, and that's perfectly fine, and some women get more empowerment out of...
The little dress part of the burkini reminds me of is the Edwardian swimming dresses that they
yes,
had.
Yes, which I've always liked.
I want one. I want one so badly.
They're so, but those are made of cotton, so they're stupidly heavy. Not
no,
the burkinis,
the,
though, but
the original ones were made of wool. They were even worse.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
You didn't go swimming in them. You just kind of stood and looked pretty in the ocean, and then you were like, and we're going back on the beach now.
Yeah, I can see that. That's something that drives me nuts in movies. Like, Ray has her anachronistic peeve. People, like, jumping in, whether you're to save somebody, or you're swimming, or you're being cute and spontaneous, and jumping in the water, and, like, fully clothed, in jeans, in shoes.
No.
I got pushed into a quarry once. I was wearing jeans. I almost died. I mean, quarries are hard to get out to. You have to be able to get over to the ladder. There's no beach. There's no incline. And boy, do jeans get real heavy real quick.
Yup.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts in the movie. I'm just like, yeah, no, they'd sink.
It's the same when people are driving in movies and they're not watching the road. I'm like, good. You're giving me anxiety and you're not real.
I know that's a green screen, but God, look at the road.
But snap. Hello.
Especially, I was actually watching something last week where they were not paying attention to the road that way and gotten in an accident. And then like in the next show in the series, they were doing the same shit again and didn't get in an accident. I'm like, they're two different directors or something. What happened here?
Two different writers. It's depending on what show it was.
Hello, cat.
Yes, she's come to say hello.
I'm trying to think if there was. We did have some firsts. We also had we talked about the skateboarding. I think there was.
But you wanted to, oh, surfing was included as a new one.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Climbing, but at some particular kind of climbing.
Let's see. It's announced. Baseball safe for squash. Sport climbing. Is that what they called
yeah,
it?
Whatever the hell that. Oh, and BMX.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I remember.
Here we go.
Yep.
15 new events within existing sports were added, including 3x3 basketball, freestyle BMX, and the return of Madison cycling, as well as 9 new mixed events in several sports. Table tennis, archery, judo, shooting, triathlon, 4x400 meter relay, running, 4x100 meter medley swimming. Yay. But I thought you wanted to talk about, like, some serious BS. Is there something, like, awful?
I was trying to remember.
More awful shit we
missed
other than, oh, I don't know, radiation and sexism.
I thought there was something with one of the runners, and that's what I'm trying to remember, honestly, at this point.
Well, there was the whole thing with,
Unfortunately, this
I'm going to get her name wrong. Simone?
Sometimes we do that. Somebody
true.
Had their...
The
metal
gymnast that stepped down and was getting so much flack.
Oh,
for it.
Yes. My brain. Why is it not working? I'm so sorry.
We also meant to do this, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Several weeks.
We meant to do this a couple of weeks ago.
But then life hit but really hard.
Yeah,
2020 Olympics. Yeah, with the twisties. And she had to step down, so she walked away with the silver and the bronze. She was able to come back. She had to give up the bar events, which, and she was able to come back for the balance beam.
Twisties? What?
So when you're in gymnastics and you're specifically doing, like, the flips through the air, it's very important to keep an eye, like, your, where you are in relation to where the ground is, so you can make sure that you have the right amount of momentum to get all of your somersaults and flips done before you hit the ground. Otherwise, you could land very badly and or break a neck. I never got this far that I had to worry about it, but it was still something that they wanted, they kind of pounded in our heads to be aware of, and didn't really have a word for it, just like, be aware of your surroundings. But she specifically referred to it as the twisties, and that's why she had to drop down, because while she was doing this, and then later we would also find out, I believe her grandmother passed while she was at the Olympics. She was just not keep track of
Okay, I know what you're talking about. The one who just stepped down for mental health reasons, and people were...
Yeah.
People were all like, burr, 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 and it's like,
how dare you?
Alone.
Right?
Is a health issue.
Things happen.
Yeah, and they were talking about how, like, well, there was this, the one gymnast that, you know, didn't step down, and she ended up, like, breaking her legs.
Yeah. Or was it Kathy Strug, like, shattered her ankle.
Yeah.
And they still, like, they, she twisted it, and they're like, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, do it again, and then she broke her leg. I think that was,
yeah, and then there was one who, like,
and she, like, couldn't ever compete again. Because her injury was so bad.
Well, that's what happened to my cousin. She won a bunch of gold medals at the Empire State Games in New York. She had a full scholarship to a university for sports education. And then she, you know, was maybe going to go to the Olympics and started getting stress fractures. You just overdo and get pushed and pushed and pushed. And a lot of these athletes, I mean, they start training so young, too. Their bodies don't develop and mature properly. I mean, stress fractures are also a result of, you know, your tendons and calcium deposits not happening properly. And
yeah.
It's and abuse.
It was just the amount of pushback on that was just insane, I remember.
And
she had been in the previous Olympics. Like, she had locked down gold for Team USA before. It's like, oh, how dare
you take care of yourself, and people like in the, you know, the kind of climate we're in now, we're like, leave her alone, screw you.
So it's the Olympics. You have worked and sweated, and
it was,
this is what you're here for. They are just as upset having to step down from it as,
yeah,
probably more so.
I mean, it's her entire life.
But I mean, there is a point where it's like, oh, that's a good point. I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it worse. If I'm not at my best and I perform, I could drastically just hurt our team.
You know, everything.
Yeah. So I'm not aware of what's going on. Sure, I might miss, but like taking a fall on a mat or off the bars, that is a huge point drop, and it's just no, not worth it.
So why don't we call out this American mask hole, Michael Andrew? He was a swimmer, and then he was unvaccinated, and he refused to wear a mask during his interviews.
Oh dear.
Through the whole media area, and, you know, being interviewed about it, and he seriously is like, well, for me, it's pretty hard to breathe in after kind of sacrificing my body in the water, so I feel like my health is a little more tied to being able to breathe than protecting what's coming out of my mouth.
Exactly.
Douche.
dick. Alright, I double mask all the time. It's not that hard, you whiny baby.
Right? Like, alright, sure, then don't kick my ass take a few breaths and then go do your fucking interviews.
Yeah, like, I think somebody, there was a post I saw up recently talking, somebody was doing the bananas bullshit of, like, you know, gas, the oxygen can't get through and blah, 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 and somebody was like, that's not true. And the person was like, well, how do you know that? What gives you that authority? And he was like, my degree and my, like, he had, like, a master's in, like, anesthesiology. It's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, there are, like, my Amy is a teacher. She has to wear a mask all day at the school. She doesn't have to, but she elects to because she's concerned about her health. And she's got the little plastic thing inside it that, for the ones that are just, they don't have the seam, that helps keep it away from her mouth so she doesn't have to worry about it touching her lips. You get the ones that have the seam right here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. There's...
Yeah, lots of ways to do it. I see a really good story, though, where our Olympic fencers wore pink masks. You see this? And apparently it was protesting one of their own teammates had been accused of sexual assault, and they didn't think he should be able to participate, so the rest of them wore pink masks to support victims of sexual misconduct.
It on them.
Right?
Yeesh. Yep. And then we had several transgender athletes at the Tokyo Olympics, which is fantastic.
Oh, there were some mixed gender sports added too, like entire categories. I don't have a list, but I remember reading about that. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, yes, I wanted to be on the football team, and I wasn't even allowed to try out when I was in high school.
When we say Olympics BS, we also mean just all the other things that happened, not just the bad stuff.
Just bullshitting about it?
Yeah. There was the, what was it, they still gave out the condoms? Like, you could have given out masks and condoms this year, I'm just saying. It's just weird. And some of this stuff has been a recurring thing with the Olympics as well. Like, the Olympics is notorious for sexism, taking advantage of athletes, cashing in, having countries and cities compete for the right to host the Olympics, and then they spend all this money on infrastructure, and then once the Olympics is gone, these infrastructure projects just fall to waste because there's not always enough people in the countries or cities to continue to make use of them.
Well, that's bad planning.
Yeah.
You shouldn't give it to an irresponsible government that's going to let that happen.
And not to mention, like, the amount of, like, bribes that come up with, like, I want my city selected, or, yeah. It's insane. But we're just talking about, like, all of it. But specifically 2021, because, you know, that just happened.
Yes.
I will say I am kind of curious how it might have... Because we're a lot of streaming now, so I'm kind of curious about how the ratings were, essentially, for that, and if that had any impact or will have a future impact on how they show the Olympics in the future.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. But I believe that's pretty much... I mean, there's more. There's like an entire Wikipedia article just dedicated to so much more that I haven't even gone over.
Dedicated already. To the chicanery of what happened this year.
Yep.
At the Olympics.
Yep. This is also a very long episode already, so I think I'm going to cut it here with the Olympic BS. So if there's anything
still
particularly...
not as long as the Olympics.
No. That is true. But if there's anything that we missed or a controversy that you were particularly invested in, wanted to speak about, or just want us to talk about, feel free, chime in, let us know by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating right now?
I think I'm going to be making Dress version 2, maybe? My friend at work has said that she has 5 yards of fabric that she's not doing anything with, and I may have, so that might be mock-up dress number 2.
Right on.
And whatnot. And I'm going to be crocheting spooky plushies. I'm doing for the upcoming last market day in October, I'm going to do some Halloween Bulbasaurs. Fall/Halloween Bulbasaurs. Like, the fall ones will be purple with a pumpkin, and the Halloween ones will be gray with a jack-o'-lantern.
Nice.
So, I'm going to do a couple of Jack Skellington wreaths. I got the wreath forms, and I just need to make the covering for them. You can have a little jack head, and then like some florals. You can get really cheap Halloween florals at the dollar store. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
I own a glue gun, and I'm not afraid to use it. And then I thought I do a lot of crochet, but there are some times where I just kind of forget my skill level, if that makes any sense. But the Jen posted a picture of her husband with the little Mimi Q that I made, and I was like, damn, that turned out really well. So I think I'll make a couple of Mimi Qs for the little event as well, because it's a spooky Pokemon, that's the word I wanted. I'm fine. So yeah, I may not make all of those in 1 week, because I do have to finish the book for next week's thing, but I'm going to get started on them at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about you, Ember?
Let me see. I ordered this dress because you guys are coming up for, provided it does not get canceled, for Renfest.
Yes.
And it's going to be Pirate Christmas weekend. So I'm starting.
Oh, you ordered it?
Yay. Nice!
I did. So I've got this dress because I mean, it seems like such a great, perfect of pirate and mm-hmm. Christmas crossover to begin with. And I already have some like steampunk elf ears.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'd have to figure out a hat, because I mean, as much as I want a pirate hat, maybe I should get a stocking cap or make one and lean more toward Christmassy, or maybe a little bonnety thing. And I'm worried about what'll work with the ears.
I've got a little Christmas fascinator if you want to look at it after we finish recording.
I will look at that. Because the fascinator, that was the other thing I was worried about. Like, whatever I try on or make, I'm going to have to wear the ears to figure out if it'll work.
Yeah.
So I'm getting excited about getting ready for Ren.
Did I tell you that I found all of the costume pieces I needed for my Christmas pirate just in the stuff?
Just already had them.
I just already had them. I didn't have to buy anything.
Awesome.
Well, good. That makes it easier. I could just pull this stuff out of my closet then.
Cool. I also am going to be inventing a drink this week. So for Rob's birthday, has become tradition now, it seems. I made another habanero chocolate mocha cupcakes.
I saw that.
So I have leftover habanero simple syrup. And I went out and I got some limes and some ginger beer and some mango nectar.
Ooh,
and I'm going to be inventing some kind of nifty, spicy cocktail.
I also feel like
maybe right after the show.
I also feel like you could make some really fun candy out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you like Penny Arcade, especially their Acquisitions Incorporated, I know that they adjust, which is their D&D game.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a One of the people had made a drink called the Green Flame, because there's an ongoing joke about Green Flame, and it was very similar to what you were describing. It was like you use jalapenos and a simple syrup, and I think they used a blue curacao and some other stuff, guys. I just saw it on Twitter, and I was like, oh man, that would be really cool too. You can make Green Flame.
Yeah. I'm always interested in inventing that kind of stuff, and sometimes I do, and I went looking, and with habanero, the only ones I kept finding were margaritas and Bloody Marys, and, well, yeah, and everybody already does all that with jalapenos, but, like, the mango ginger habanero is really... I went looking for it online, Googling, and I couldn't even find, like, something tilting toward what I'm inventing, and that made me excited, too. So I can, like, share the idea with my bartender friends. So, yeah, that's what I'm anticipating. Anything else? Making more Halloween masks. It's that time of
Yay!
Year.
Yay! Awesome. Yeah, I actually just got my order confirmation for some that will definitely be here in time for Winterfest MomoCon. But I was hoping that we'd get here earlier because one of them has fangs, and I wanted that to wear that to the 90 question. I am definitely looking forward to some more rest. I've got 2 days of a staycation before I have to go back to work. And then I actually just Bloodlines, Vampire Bloodlines, which I've never played, despite Scott harassing me for almost... entirety of our relationship. So I'm going to play that because I had such a good time being embraced and becoming a gang girl. I'm like, why did I play a gang girl? I'll start with a gang girl. Because I initially started with the Nosferatu, which apparently was not the best clan choice to start with. And then I'm also looking forward to our Atomic Youth game for Aberrant that Simulacra Studios runs, because I got to meet half of the people, like the ones I didn't already know in Georgia, were in Texas for the night in question. So nice. I actually got faces to these Discord names, so that was super fun.
Yay!
Well, remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on September 20th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll be doing our book club episode. We are reading Lamb, The Gospel of Biff, Christ's Childhood Pale, which I love this book. It's super funny, and it should be a lively conversation. And I do want to go ahead and mention the show of the following week so we can start to get some momentum for our special guest, J.F. Dubow. You may know him as the writer of God in the Shed and of the Aquilo podcast that he does with Amy Frost, otherwise known as Daniora. And we've had them on the show before that podcast launched. And now they're on their fourth season of that show just launched, and we're super fans, and JF wants to talk about his new book that is being released. It's already out in French, but it's not out in English yet, so it should be a really interesting conversation because I can't read it ahead of time.
Alright, and in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You are the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron too at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. You can check out what topics we're going to do in the next month on our schedule below on our Twitch page. And if you're a patron, you can suggest topics for us directly. We'd love to hear your ideas. We'll probably do them.
Please give us ideas.
Right, we've been coming up ideas for, 5.5 years? We could use a little help.
Yeah.
All right, and where can we find you all on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's M-I-S-C. And you can check out my website at madcapm.com. Still a little light. I'm crocheting away, and I will put more things up for sale soon.
Right. What about you, Ember?
I can be reached at 9of12, that's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast.
Right, and you can find me on Instagram under Dappledame, it's where I put a lot of my finished art, and on Twitch as Ray Aino. We'll be trying to stream on a more regular, hopefully a weekly basis from now on. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and good game!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.